Welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about the build-up to X-Men Days of Future Past, the movie. And we aren't going to cover the comic book in whole here because I think we need a bigger panel for that, but this is just going to cover our initial thoughts on the trailers and why we're looking forward to it and etc. Of course, you know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Hello!
And as always, we're going to start with the solicitations. Okay, let's see here.
I'm going to say right off the bat, I want to read the from Azurn Publishing Mercenary Pig number 1, based entirely on the title.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, let's see here. We got some Collected Ninja High School, Volume 2, from Antarctic Press. Archie has stuff.
I gotta say the Mega Man title has been one of the few consistently entertaining comics I've read the last 3 years, and I'm surprised
that
Mega Man. I mean, the whole series is coming out on DVD in the fall, I believe. But no, I mean it's they just had a big crossover with Sonic, and I haven't read the Sonic comics for years, so I wouldn't even know what to say about that. But the Mega Man series has just been gold. So,
well, let's see here, Bohemian Pressity, Bongo Comics. Boom Studio has some Adventure Time.
Come on, grab your friends.
Gonna go to some distant lands.
Yeah.
With Cake the Cat.
And Fiona the Human.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, we got...
Oh, look.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say in Dark Horse, I didn't notice this when I was at the store, but they've got the first collection of the Brain Boy comic, which for those that don't know, the Dark Horse Comics is, you know, reinventing their superheroes that they had back through the 90s, and that back then, at least from what I vaguely remember, it was fairly popular. You know, you had stuff like Vortex and The Mask and Ghost, which was a comic I loved growing up, and they got it all under this Project Black Sky banner, so you got like Brain Boy and Captain Midnight, which again, great comic. But the Brain Boy one was kind of fun. It's basically a guy who's like mental superpowers, and he's part of the Secret Service, but he doesn't fight, and yet he's forced into fighting to solve this weird mystery. I don't know if you haven't read it, read it.
Well, I do see the Star Wars is here, 7 of 8, the continuation of a direct adaptation of George Lucas's original draft, which proves that he really needs proofreading.
Yeah. I mean, the simplest way to explain that comic for those that haven't read it, and I haven't read it since the second issue, because I was
he
just kind of like...
He Jar-Jarred himself badly.
Well, yeah, he Jar-Jarred himself. I'm just waiting for the trade on that, because I still want to read it front to back. But the easiest way to explain what George Lucas was thinking is Flash Gordon on crank.
Crank! Ah!
Okay, you would continue that one. Let's see, we got DC, Batman, Batwoman. Nice to see some diversity there. New Justice League, Smallville. Oh, that's right. They're not
Smallville
doing that as season 11.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. No, it's. I've read a couple of the Smallville tie-in comics. The one was a guy, I think it was like Smallville Guardian was the storyline where, you know, they met the Smallville version of Batman finally. It's good stuff. It's about the quality of a good most of the comics are about the quality of a good episode of Smallville.
So not very good.
Well, what was it? Amazon, which is the one that introduced Smallville's Wonder Woman, and that one was actually really good in terms of story and, you know, level of excitement and all that. And the only... Well, you got a new version of the Final Crisis collection came out.
Yeah, that's already retcon. Anyway,
yeah.
let's keep on going. We got the Disney Dynamite and $6 Million Man season 6.
Yeah, that's actually if you've ever been a fan of the original, you know, Lee Majors series, that first issue was actually pretty good. I got the new Solar Man of the Atom. Which I'm kind of...
How many freaking variant covers does that fucker have?
Not nearly enough, because I'm sure there's more coming.
Look at that. It's taking a path of the impeach. Look at this. Look at this. It's like Dark Horse is all like, no, Dynamite is like all variant covers. What the hell?
There's like 20 variant covers, and there some of them aren't even like regular variant covers. There's Rob Liefeld reorder variant.
Wait, they sold out their Liefeld so that they had to order more?
There's a Steven Movie Virgin variant as well as a regular variant.
What's the difference between the regular variant and the virgin variant?
Well, one of them knows what they're doing. Oh God,
Okay.
I'm going to hell.
Drawing for the very first time.
Not even Meatloaf can save me from that joke.
Yes.
Let's see what we got. Fat graphics, high speed. Ooh, 24 omnibus from IDW.
Yes. Let's see
Got
here.
some
We got some
Gojira.
Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters Volume 7.
Yeah. Power
Superman
Girls.
Silver Age newspaper dailies. I would actually like to see that.
That would be good. The new Thunder Agents, which, hasn't been that bad. I mean, did Wallywood create that, or did he just do the art on that?
I think he was an integral part of it. But what I do see is some Walt Simonson covers here. Star Slammers. I love Walt Simonson. I think he's one of the few that really got the Kirby style.
But made it his own.
Yes.
No, I loved Simonson. It's actually one of the first Thor comics I ever remember reading was around the time Thor had a. It was something happened. The shield helicarrier had crashed. Thor was had a ID as a construction worker, although he still looked like Thor. He just tied his hair back in a ponytail and wore glasses.
I
Because
think
Nick
you're
Fury.
thinking of. I think you're thinking of.
No, that it was an actual comic.
You're not thinking of Thunderstrike.
No, I'm not thinking of Thunderstrike. Although
Okay.
I think that oh God, Kevin, I can't remember his last name, that eventually became Thunderstrike. He was a character in Thor at the time, like more of a Jimmy Olsen. I know you're trying to make me say something here, and I just can't imagine what it would be. But no, he got
Well, like
yeah.
I said, I just couldn't resist the AC/DC reference with Thor
Oh,
and Thunderstrike, you know?
yes, now I get it. And as always, I went in the other direction. Let's see what we
Because you're
got.
talking about
Image.
the team being a construction worker, I'm thinking, are you sure you're not thinking of Thunderstrike?
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. Image. Mercenary C, which is basically a. Well, it's a crew of mercenaries on an old diesel sub set in the 1950s. I wouldn't say it's trite and cliched, although you've probably read stories like this before, but it's still decently entertaining. What else we got in here? New Morning Glories. Oh, Witchblades.
We got some let's see here. We got some Marvel here.
Well, there was the new Hulk.
There's the new where now Bruce Banner's brain dead and Hulk is alive because Bruce Banner was shot in two very specific spots in the back of his head that will not kill him.
Really, that's how they ended the Indestructible Hulk?
Well, no, the Hulk is still alive, and you know, when he hulks out, the Hulk has intelligence, stuff like that, but Bruce Banner, when he's not hulked out, is like a vegetable.
The lights are on, but no one's home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, I don't get it.
Let's
Let's
see,
see
we
here.
got we got the new Mar. Oh, that's a second printing variant cover of Moon Knight. I completely forgot they were bringing that title back. The last issue of Superior Spider-Man, which I haven't read yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
You're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, we'll see. Ultimate Future Foundation, which how many times have they rebooted the Ultimate Comics now? This is like what, the third or fourth time? Not
And
surprised
the
anymore.
Ultimate Comics started as a way to like update and bring a teen-friendly version of the Marvel Universe to the masses, and then it became
And
this thing.
then eventually the Blob ate the Wasp, and Giant Man walked out into the middle of the New York Harbor with hundreds of Suicide Multiple Man clones on him and heroically sacrificed himself. I'm gonna just leave it at that. What else we got? Oh, yeah, it's the new Wolverine in the X-Men series. I'm glad they brought that back because that's like I said, that's been my favorite X comic the last few years.
There we go.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at it. Moonstone, Sheena number one.
You know what? I don't think I've ever read any of the Sheena comics. I do remember a bad syndicated TV series starring Gina Lee Nolan.
You don't know about
That's.
Sheena?
I know more about Shanna the She-Devil than I know Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. Which might have almost entirely everything to do with the fact the last Shanna comic was drawn by Frank Cho, and well. There's one reason why guys like Frank Cho's art, folks. I'll let you figure out what that is for yourselves.
Well, as a fellow Korean, I have lots of empathy for Frank Cho because there was one time he was interviewed with his parents with him, and the interviewer asked his parents, "How do you feel about having a son that's like this world-renowned comic book artist?" His mother looks so upset and says, "We are so disappointed he's not a doctor."
Oh my God, really?
And
Really?
let me tell you something, JT.
All right.
I too have a Korean mother. I know
Okay.
his pain.
She just keeps twisting that knife.
I know his pain. If I ever met him in person, all I would have to say, "Frank, I have a Korean mother too," and he would just look at me and nod, and it'd be like, "Yeah, we know."
Just fist bump. I feel you, bro.
It doesn't even have to go that far. It's just a known thing.
That kind of sheds some light, or makes me think something about one of my favorite nerdcore rappers. Who's, have you ever heard of Adam Warrock?
I don't do nerdcore. Let's move on the
All
list.
right, fine. I was going to enjoy the conversation, but fine.
I'm
Let's see what
sorry.
else. That's okay. What else we got? One Piece books. Kurt Cobain, When I Was an Alien. Right. Let's see,
With
Rebel.
Argle Bargle with the marbles in my mouth.
Yeah, Urgle, Fergal, Burgle. And it's looking down the rest. Ooh, Rebellion's got a 2000 AD collection there, which would be interesting to check out.
Oh, those are the old ones that used to have Judge Dredd in them, weren't they?
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Oh, wait, I was thinking Red 5. That's Red Giant. Never mind. Not a whole lot left. I mean.
All right. Well, that was our solicitations. I will take a brief break, and then when we come back, we will have the topic of the show.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come
good
on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds
yeah,
good to
that's
me.
All right.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian has superhero antics and sexy girls. Catch updates weekly at Decian.com and NoSuperPants.com.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back to talk about Days of Future Past, the trailers and upcoming movie. We will cover the comic book arc in a later date. We're now, right now, we're going to talk about our initial feelings on the trailer, the movie, the upcoming everything that we've seen. One thing I have to say is the rumors are saying it, you know, confirmed rumors from what I'm reading is Kelsey Grammer has shot footage of being the Beast, you know, one of the greatest X-Men or superhero casting decisions ever in the world. Kelsey Grammer is Beast. Come on.
He was born to play that role in much the same way Hugh Jackman was born to play Wolverine.
I mean, you look at him, he talks and he's eloquent and he drips class when he talks, but at the same time, he is a pretty big guy and he can totally do the Beast thing.
And what sold me on his performance in The Last Stand...
The only good part about Last Stand, by the way.
Well, that's another episode for another day. But there's a few things I like about that movie, but it's a very small list. The one thing that he did in that movie, aside from, you know, play Henry fucking McCoy, was he made Oh My Stars and Garters sound just a little bit badass.
Yes.
Which, you know, outside, and I'm probably forgetting a dozen catchphrases, but outside of Wolverine's I'm the best there is at what I do, bub, Beast is the only one that instantly comes to mind with having a quote-unquote catchphrase, which throughout the years has been, Oh, my stars and garters. Now, I don't care what kind of lacy undergarments that Hank McCoy cares to wear in his private hours, but it's always been kind of like, you know, just goofy. But I mean, Kelsey Grammer, classy mofo. He made it sound badass and kind of classy. So, and I'm going to say, just before we start talking about what we see in the trailers, what got me on board with this movie from day one, Bryan Singer.
Well, that actually was what some people said is what got them off it. But to me, it was, I saw the first movie poster that had Patrick Stewart's face intersected with, what's his name?
James McAvoy. And then they have the one with Michael Fassbender and Sir Ian McKellen.
Yes, Michael Fassbender, the only guy who has a name that sounds like a G.I. Joe villain.
Yeah. I still say, based on his performance as Eric Lynchure, and you can't call him Magneto because he wasn't Magneto till the end of the film, as Eric in First Class, that dude should play James Bond at some point.
I don't think it's going to be happening for a while, but it is true. A good point, but like I said,
I like how you said when we watched all the trailers before we started recording, folks, and Ben made a very good point, is the, what did you say, how it's muted at the beginning of that?
The very first one is very muted because you see the pictures of the mutants, you see Xavier dressed, you know, he's in the wheelchair, but he's dressed like a warrior, which in itself says that Xavier has lost.
Yeah.
Because the second that the professor becomes a warrior is, you know, it's over.
Coexistent out the window.
Yeah, and the fact that it's so dire and bad that, you know, there is no X-Men, there is no Brotherhood of Mutants.
Yeah.
It's
just mutants.
Yeah, you have Magneto and Xavier co-leading what's left. And it's dire, it's dark, there is nothing left except for this one long shot.
Which, and I'm reaching with my comic book history here, from the designs of this quote-unquote temple that Wolverine, and we see Wolverine and Magneto and Professor X in, it probably has something to do with the clan, was it Clan Akaba, which is... ties into the mutant, the X-Men villain Apocalypse, who's going to be the focus of the next movie in a couple of years. You know, it's either that or it has something to do with the clan. I think it's Ascani or Axcani, which is like the clan of people in the future that trained Cable when he went from modern day to the future because he's infected with that technovirus that...
I think the thing is, it's not really, if I have to guess, because I, you know, looking at the windows and stuff like that, I don't think it's actually a temple. I think this is actually the old Xavier house. And I think the only thing is, the important thing is, was they had to get Kitty Pryde because her phasing power was essential for this time travel last ditch attempt thing. And all of this was, you know, just to retrieve her or something.
Okay.
You know, if I had to guess what the movie structure is like, and I could be completely, totally off, is the first part is, you know, the first 20 minutes or so is them having to save Kitty. Mm-hmm. And then they have to regroup at the last safe place they had left, the remains of Xavier's mansion. And they have to do this last ditch attempt while being overrun by Sentinels. You know, you have shots of Magneto doing something big, you know, his last stand, so to speak, is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my guess, if I had to guess. The thing is, I'm actually thinking is we might be having 30, maybe 40 minutes of being in the future.
Well, as much as I would love to see Bryan Singer do his magic on, you know, the X-Men of the past, it would be a huge misstep to not have at least at least one act of the movie just entirely in the future. Because from my understanding, it's the characters from the future meet their younger selves from the past. There's the battle in the two different time periods. So I imagine that the future X-Men, you know, with Bishop and Sunspot and Blink, I mean, wow, talk about semi-obscure X-Men characters.
But the important thing is they actually have their right powers in the material we're seeing.
Yeah.
And which is a huge step up from the atrocity which was Last Stand, where it's like, oh, here's a character, we'll just give her whatever the fuck powers we want to.
Yeah, because, I mean, we watched also, before we came on air here, we watched that clip that I had found. It's basically one of the opening battles in the movie, where we see, like, they did right by one of my favorite, poorly designed, but the dude had a mullet, and that's never a good thing in comics. They had Bishop, and it wasn't like more recent incarnations of the character in comics where, you know, he gets hit by electricity and he can throw a force blast back at you. You see him, there's Sunspot from the New Mutants. He lays some energy on Bishop and it courses through his body, and he's got a gun strapped to his arm that he uses to focus the energy that he's absorbed. So, you know, and then you have stuff like Blink. You know, she's got the teleportation spikes that open the portals, which I kind of like when you watch in the clip that you can jump through from either side like that to transport wherever. It's not like you have to only go through one side of the portal, which it's nitpicky at best, but I love that. And like I said when we were watching the trailers, hey, we didn't have to wait in three movies to watch Bobby Drake ice up into Iceman.
Yes.
This is happening in like the first 20 minutes. Easy. So, obviously they're doing the powers. I mean, you look in, I think it was the second trailer, which is, you don't see a whole lot of the future stuff. You know, they send Logan back in time, and there you go, and he pops his claws in, like, I think it's like 1970s America, and he's got the bone claws. He's like 10 years off from getting the adamantium at this point. And it's just, yeah, they're doing the powers so well. And like I said before, one of the things I'm looking forward to is, like, not only are we going to have Kelsey Grammer as Beast, but I'm just going to look it up here. Nicholas Hoult, who played, you know, Hank McCoy in First Class, is back as Hank McCoy and as Beast, because apparently something happens. He turns his, you know, the fur and fangs off.
Well, I think it's the watch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe he's got a mutant. You know, they got like a mutant suppressor or something. But I mean, like I said, you watch in the trailer, they really, it's only blinking, you'll miss it almost, but they really improve the makeup effects for Beast, yes. Like for past Beast. I mean, if it's the same level of stuff they used on Kelsey Grammer in Last Stand, well, more power to you. Cause
yeah. Well, the thing is, the one moment I love was, do I make it? No.
Yeah. And then he just looks at him and then, you know, scene. The other thing it's looking forward to, I know one mutant I was wondering if they're going to have in there, if they're going to have Havoc in.
Yes, they are going to have Havoc. I saw Havoc in the third trailer.
Okay. Oh, that's the dude with the red energy blast like that out his hand.
Well, yeah, That's Havoc. Who else does that except for Havoc?
You never know. It's I'm just looking at the list of some of these. I mean, you got Daniel Cudmore, who's played, he's the only guy that's played Colossus in all the movies. I'm surprised they brought him back. I think that's a good thing
that we have Singer back, because Singer does want that sense of continuity. And yeah, it's actually very advantageous that he's doing this now, because the original Days of Future Past, what year was it again that Kitty Pryde traveled from?
It was like the 80s or something.
What year did she travel from?
1980.
No, from the future.
It's 2014.
Yes.
Oh, wow, we're supposed to be ruled over by killer sentinels.
Well, in the 90s, we were supposed to be ruled over by Khan, Union, Singh, but whatever.
And by this point, Skynet should have taken over. So, you know, I think we dodged a couple of bullets. That, speaking of the Sentinels, Peter Dinklage, Tyrion freaking Lannister as Bolivar Trask.
Love it.
Awesome.
I love it that it almost says something that, you know, like a quote-unquote normal mutant is anti-mutant.
Bolivar Trask is a mutant?
A dwarfism is considered a genetic mutation.
Oh, okay, like that. Sorry, I was thinking.
Well, like I said, that's the thing. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. Just, I was thinking in terms of the comic, but no, it's I love when you see him in the trailer. You know, he's got like the Ron Burgundy coif and the epic cookie duster, you know, on his upper lip there. And
I love the designs of the past Sentinels as well.
Yeah, very reminiscent of the style, the design of the Sentinels that they had in X-Men Evolution, which were very
badass.
You know, well, badass I also want to call them this. They were very Tinker Toy looking.
They're badass Tinker Toy, but also tanks at the same time. It's like, yeah. The thing is, you watch the 90s X-Men series, it's like, oh, here are these giant humanoid robots that
made out of tinfoil.
That fucking Jubilee could take down. And then here is one Sentinel that the combined X-Men and Brotherhood had to work at to take down.
Yeah. I mean, before this, what did we have for Sentinels in the movies was the Danger Room sequence in Last Stand. Cutaway
gag.
Yeah. Like, and you see, like, lights up on a pole, and then this giant head comes out of nowhere. Although we did. Special. And yeah, we did get a fastball special, which was awesome.
To me, what I loved was well, it's a combination of things in this trailer. But to me, what I loved was you know, the classic Sentinel look has like this giant plug in its chest.
Yeah,
and it never really made sense. And then you have these 70s Sentinels where they, instead of that plug design's there still, but instead it's a jet exhaust.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, they took design elements from the comic book and made them actually, like, cool.
Well, yeah, and then you look at in the trailer, you see in some of the, very briefly, they've got basically these flying tombstones in the future that, well, for lack of a better word, crap out Nimrod Sentinels.
Nimrod Sentinels, yeah. Not just regular ones.
Nimrod, and specifically, if you don't know Nimrod from the comics, is basically a future, like, a nigh unstoppable future Sentinel from the original comic book timeline. And I love the design of it, because it looks very almost, like, I know it's tech and everything, but it's probably, like, nanotech, and it's got this almost organic look to it. The way they move, because you see it very briefly in the clip we watch, how they move kind of almost bug-like.
Yeah.
And how they morph, obviously, because there's a scene, you see them, like, drill in, and then it, like, turns into, like, the Sentinel's face, and it just kind of basically slithers out a hole, the way, you know, like, how rats can, like, compress their body to get into, like, something the size, like, an inch wide. And it's just, the work put into that alone makes me love that design. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with, in the movies, I'm probably going to enjoy the 70s Sentinels better, just because it's got that whole, you know, Tinker Toy sort of Gundam almost feel on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just thinking, for what we saw of, like, you know, the new mutants in the future, like, for design-wise, what we see, what are you putting down as, like, maybe your favorite?
what favorite moment I want to see?
Well, just what we saw, like, just looking at that, what do you think of...
I want to see the whole conversation between the Xaviers.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing you get. James McAvoy as, you know, young Xavier, just, I love that line. You see it in pretty much all three trailers where he's mad, he's like all, you know, he's basically turned into like a filthy hippie. And he's like long hair, you know, beard, and he's just screaming and spitting, you know, I don't want your future. And it's just, what the hell happened to Xavier? Apparently he got better after the end.
I think I have a theory about that.
Well, what do you think I'm talking about when I say he got better?
Him walking around.
Exactly.
I have a theory about that.
All right.
I have a theory that at the cost of his telepathy, he can turn his telepathy off and like focus his mental powers to make his body move.
But, okay.
But the thing is, if he starts using his telepathy again, his lower his below the waist all goes ragdoll. Because you also see other shots of him in a wheelchair, you know, around town and stuff like that. It's like, so that's what I'm thinking.
That could work. Because I love when you go, you see, like, the new, like, the modern, very briefly, the modern Cerebro a couple of times. But then it segues into the 70s Cerebro, you know, and it's got knobs and switches and dials and gauges. And they go in there and you see Xavier blow, like, this crap ton of dust off the helmet.
Yes. Well... Is it dust or is it something else?
No, I'm pretty sure he's not high on his own supply, Ben.
Well, I'm just saying, as he seemed a little pretty out in the third trailer when Wolverine came to see him.
Well, this is true. I know, it's just that whole sequence where he's like, I have sent to talk to you. And, you know, it's like, from who? Then, you know, you like that. That's going to be some great unintentional comedy, I think.
And to me is the thing is, you know, calling Mystique a cold hearted bitch. I mean, this is still a very different Mystique right now.
Yeah.
She's not quite the cold hearted bitch at this moment. I mean, unless lots of things happen to her between the two movies, between First Class and this, I really don't see her going to the full transformation of X-Men and X2 Mystique yet. I can't imagine she's all the way to that level yet.
Well on her way, but not all the way there yet. Yeah, definitely. I think when you look at the future mutants, like I said, definitely got Bishop in there. Bishop was one of my favorite characters in the X-Men comics in the 90s when he's introduced, because, you know, he's like this badass future cop and all that. But they didn't give him a mullet. You know, he's got like the dreadlock hair. He looks like kind of a wasteland warrior.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And I really like that. I like, you know, very briefly you see Sunspot, and, well, he looks... You know, as what's his name, Roberto? I can't remember his last.
He looks like Sunspot to me.
Yeah, he looks like Sunspot. He got. I love the fact you got. Was it Aaron Ashmore? It was Aaron Ashmore that played Bobby Drake, right? Not Sean.
Right.
Not the other one. Aaron Ashmore. You know, he's got the beard. He's looking kind of badass. He's got, you know, the nice adult. He's got like that the leather, almost kind of a duster like jacket, but he's. It's just great, really. I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, the one that I really noticed, and like I said, I was kind of sweet on as a kid, was Blink, who is this character created, she was going to be a character in Generation X and was killed off very early on, and then they brought her back as being part of the Exiles comic for pretty much the entire run of those series. And I just like that they actually got her right. Like, they make her look this very anime-esque looking character. I mean, the actress playing her is Chinese, so she has that look about her. But I think it's some of the fact that, you know, it's like pink skin, pink hair, but still kind of a badass.
Yeah, she does look. You know, it's not a perfect translation, but it's an attempt. It's an actual attempt to make her look like it.
Yeah. Which I think overall for a lot of designs, even if you look at Xavier and his, like, battle gear and Magneto, they've both got, like, the older men. But the fact that you know, it's they're getting on in here, Sir Ian McKellen, and is it Sir Patrick Stewart? Did he get knighted?
He was never knighted.
Okay, so you know, Picard and you know Magneto.
Picard and Gandalf.
Picard and Gandalf. I'll go with that. They. For even for their advanced years, these guys still have so much presence.
Exactly.
And that they project so much power like that. So
I think it's important that they play this role, because the thing is, they both are older, as you say, but that's the strength of this, because there's a lot of the age can be taken as battle weariness, in that they are both, so they're both sitting down together, reminiscing, and they're going, damn it, if we only had our acts together 30 years ago, and didn't do all, you know, didn't battle each other all this time, we could have done something about this.
Well, yeah, they're bros now. I mean, obviously, they realize they have to work together.
I think it's more than they have to. I think it's more than necessity. I think it's the fact that they both look back and almost fondly to their old friendship. And
well, it's basically, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, it's all on me, man. It's
but
like, no,
then,
it's like,
but then Magneto says, you're not getting my Bud Light.
Yeah. That's just, you could see it's metaphorical at best, but they do like the bro fist bump and like, you know, let's do this. So, man, I can't wait for this movie. Like, and honestly, like I think it was barely after the first trailer was released, or even just before the first trailer was released, where they announced that, you know, they're doing X-Men Apocalypse, and, you know, and Abin Sur is coming down the pike.
Yes.
And it's like, how in the hell do you top, you know, it's, they're doing Days of Future Past, obviously. How are you going to top that? Well, you're going to go with, like, one of the biggest baddies in the history of X-Men comics. So, I don't know what else I can really say, man. You got anything left?
All I have to say is I am looking forward to this like you wouldn't believe.
No, I got that. I mean, and it's kind of building now for the few faults that the Wolverine had, and it did have a couple. It started on this path to kind of rebuilding fans' faith in the franchise. Because let's be brutally honest, there is a very small, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a very small following for Last Stand, because there's very little right and a very lot wrong with that movie. And it did damage the franchise. And then it took something like First Class, you know, they took that way step back. They made it like more, as much as there are superpowers in there, they made it more of a character piece than anything, because you see how they build that very brief but strong relationship between Magneto and Professor Xavier.
Yes.
And, well, Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique was awesome. I mean, I think my favorite in there is, at least mine, I don't know if you, my favorite mutant in that, in First Class, was Beast.
I absolutely loved Beast. And it's really hard because I like the young Beast, because he's nervous, a lot of nervous young energy. But at the same time, Kelsey Grammer.
Frasier will always be the true Beast, but it's just that scene of Nicholas Hoult when he walks into the hangar, you know, everyone's got their X gear on, and he walks in with just his head hung low because he used Mystique's DNA to try and fashion a cure.
Instead, he accelerated his change.
He mutated his mutation. He comes in with his head hung low, and it didn't work, and Magneto is just really honestly just gives him that punch. You look magnificent, man. And just that scene where he like grabs him by the throat and is like, don't mock me. Like, that was brilliant. And it goes both to Holtz and Fassbender's performance in that. Yeah. And, you know, the 5-second Wolverine cameo.
Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. Like, who doesn't love that? So definitely, like I said, definitely looking forward to the future of the franchise. Definitely looking forward to when this comes out.
Absolutely. You know, I'm actually wondering if they'll actually go and have Master Mold in this.
I think if anything, they'll save Master Mold for a future movie, probably maybe after Apocalypse, but they'll definitely tease it a bit.
For those of you who don't know, Master Mold is like a giant sentinel factory whose body is a sentinel, and but giant, and he like has like a factory in his body, and his chest opens up, and standard sentinels come out of his chest.
He basically, well, I wouldn't say it poops him out, but yeah, he's a giant factory. I mean, that's just kind of, why couldn't Skynet be like that? It might have been more efficient, you know, because if they find you, you just pick up and move somewhere else.
But yeah, it's Master Mold was is a bit of a literal design of a character, but you know, we're gonna wrap this up really quickly by, you know, talk about our favorite comic book covers referencing Days of Future Past.
There was a Star Trek.
Yes, I have it right here.
Okay, that's Generation. Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. It is basically Star Trek Next Generation, The Last Generation. It's almost not even the cover, but the story is basically a Days of Future Past homage. I wish I would have done this beforehand. There was was it Wolverine and Kitty Pryde First Class? It was like this miniseries a couple of years ago where they did a parody cover of that. But it's like Wolverine and Kitty Pryde back when she was known as Sprite, you know, just after she first joined the X-Men.
Ah.
You know, stuff like that. You know, I can think more of covers parodying that issue 7 of Crisis on Infinite Earths than I can this one, unfortunately. Might have to do a record a post-op or something.
Well, the point is, it's a great cover, but let's wrap up here. This is your host, Ben.
And JT from Saskatoon.
And we are saying goodnight.
So long.